So we're so thankful that the Egypt trip got back safely. I was watching the pictures that Tara West was putting on Facebook. They had an incredible, incredible time over there. And I'm sure at one point you guys are going to be talking about it. So I will leave that to them. I just want to say welcome back. It was such a, thank you guys for everything you guys did over there. Also, just so you guys know, we got a prayer request today. Kathy Rainey. Kathy Rainey fell and broke her left arm in three places. So please keep her in prayers for healing. So keep her in prayers with that. We started a series last week. It's called Walk This Way. Last week, if you weren't here, it'll be on the website here pretty soon. Last week was all about me. Hate to say it that way, but it was. It was getting to know me, getting to know my story, getting to know why I do the things I do. Today, we're going to be doing a talk again about walking, but it's walking when your feet hurt. And before we get started with anything, let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you today. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the privilege to get up here and just give your word, Lord. Thank you for being with all of us throughout this week. Thank you for being with the team that went to Egypt and getting them back here safe and sound. Lord, it was an amazing thing that they were able to go over there and do. Lord, I just thank you for that. I thank you for the opportunities and the things we have going on here at the church. And I just thank you in advance for just the service of this church, Lord. Lord, be with each and every one of us, and As I give my message today, Lord, I just pray that you open the ears of the congregation and pray that you let them hear what you want them to hear. Speak through me, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever been on a trip or gone on vacation where you've walked so much that your feet hurt? Okay, a lot of people. That's exactly what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you about this morning is walking when your feet hurt. But let me start by telling you a story about a guy that I knew that he really knew what it was like to walk when his feet hurt. His name, as you'll see up here, is Jason French. See a picture of him here soon? There he is. Jason French, I heard him tell this story, and I want to share it with you. I heard him speak at a youth convention called CIY. And it was back in 2006, and CIY, just so if you don't know, CIY means Christ in Youth. And it's a conference that that 9th grade through 12th grade can go to that fully encompasses what it means to live their life for Christ. And it's a conference that, at every conference I've been to, there's been over 1,000 kids, 9th through 12th graders, out just worshiping God. It's an incredible experience. But I was out with Jason French. I heard him do this talk. And there's one thing that you need to know about Jason. Jason is an avid hiker. He loves to hike. He'll hike anything and everywhere that he can. He loves to hike. Now, while he was on break from work, some of his friends asked him if he would like to take a trip with them and go to Alaska and hike in the tundra. And he told them, let me see, I really don't think I can do this. I need to like wash my hair that day. Oh, no, of course, I want to go. Please, please, please take me. And so he decided that they're going to go on this trip. So as the days are approaching, his friends kept calling him and asking him, are you ready? He kept saying, guys, I love to hike. I do this all the time. Of course I'm ready. Let's go. So the time came and for them to go on this trip, and they get out to Alaska. They travel out to where they were going to hike. Now, just so you know how far out they went, they had to strap extra tanks of gas to their car just to get back. They were way out there. They're way out where no one could find them. It was going to be an experience. They were ready for this. And as they started the hike, Jason realized that he wasn't quite ready for this trip because in the tundra, there is high grass everywhere. And to hike through high grass, you have to high knee into the grass and high knee out. And there was tall grass everywhere out there. So you have to do that every time you approach a patch. And about 20 minutes into the hike, Jason felt his feet start to hurt. So it's kind of like he was getting a blister. So he stopped, took off his shoes and his socks, and he put a thing called moleskin on where he felt the blister was forming. Moleskin helps comfort that and make it so the blister goes away pretty quickly. So he put it on, he then put his socks and his shoes back on, and he went back on the hike. About 10 minutes later, his feet started to hurt again. So he stopped, he repeated the process with the moleskin, and he continued on his way. And about 15 minutes passed, and again, his feet started to hurt. He told himself, I can't keep stopping and holding up our group. We're about 30 minutes from camp. I'm just going to press on. I'm going to push through it. And he did. They got to camp. They set up their tent, set up the campfire, everything like that, set up his cot. He sits down on the cot and starts to think about his hurt feet. So he takes off his shoes, takes off his socks, and have you ever had a blister before? You know what it looks like, right? Well, his feet, both of them, looked like two big popped blisters. There was blood and skin gushing everywhere. And he sat there and he looked at his sore, disgusting, hurt feet. And he realized he was in trouble because they were so far out there and he was carrying a 30-pound backpack. He couldn't have his friends carry him out. He had to find a way to keep going. So he looked in his backpack and he pulled out the only thing that would help. Pulled out a roll of duct tape. And he then proceeded to wrap up both his feet in duct tape. And he finished the race, finished the hike. Now, Jason knows what it's like to walk when your feet hurt. He persevered in the midst of an extreme trial. And he came out successful. What a great lesson. Success comes through perseverance. Consider this. There was a man whose life was characterized by failure. At age 22, his business failed. At 23, he ran for legislature, but was defeated. And so he turned to another business, which failed when he was 24. At 25, things started to turn around when he was elected to the legislature. But at 26, the love of his life died. He had a nervous breakdown at 27. He was defeated in his run for speaker at 29. He was defeated at 31 when he ran for elector. He lost in his race for Congress at 34. Then he managed to win at 37. He was defeated in his re-election for Congress in 39. He was defeated for his run for Senate in 46. He was defeated in his run for vice president at 47. He was defeated for his run for Senate at 49. This man was stubborn as a mule, just not a winning one. He was defeated over and over and over again until at the age of 51, he was elected president of the United States. In fact, he would become one of the greatest presidents in this country's history. He is Abraham Lincoln. He endured through hardships, trials, defeats, rejections, and failures until one day he became the commander in chief. He knew what it was like to walk when his feet hurt. That's the power of perseverance. It's vital for success. It's important in our daily lives. More significantly, it's essential for our spiritual lives. We need perseverance, but how do we do that? Where do we find the strength to carry on through hard times? Perseverance is an important part of our spiritual lives, being that we are told to expect hardships and persecutions as a result of our relationship with Christ. We need to be ready We're not promised that this life will be easy. In fact, we're promised just the opposite. We're promised hardships. In fact, in John chapter 16, verse 33, it says this: I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Life has storms. The Christian life isn't about an amazing, problem-free existence, but a better way in living in relationship with God. If you look at a happy, healthy marriage, what you're likely to find is not that these people manage to avoid all trials in their lives, or even that they've experienced less hardships than most. What you're likely to find is that they were committed to enduring no matter what. The strength and love that you see is a result of them undergoing hardships together and making it through to the other side. God doesn't desire a petty, shallow relationship with us. He wants intimacy. He wants unity. For that to occur, we have to be committed to turn to Him in the hard times, to stay true in our relationships with Him, no matter what life throws at us. Just as a relationship with a person means very little if you cannot survive trials, so too a relationship with God means very little you cannot endure hardships. Where do we find the strength to carry on through hard times? Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, Paul writes this: You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, and sufferings. What kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra? The persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Have you ever heard the story of Paul? Not the story of how his ministry began, but have you ever heard the story of how Paul's ministry came to an end? I want to tell you the story about the life of an amazing man. Paul lived an incredible life. He has stood on the Parthenon in Athens and debated with the leading intellectuals of his day. He had been to the media and trade center of the world in Corinth. He had been to Ephesus, the religious capital of the world. He had been to Jerusalem, where the temple of God was built. And in all of these places, he planted a church. In a radical transformation where Paul encountered Christ, he had gone from persecuting the church to planting churches. He had been through every extreme, including floggings, where they would beat you with a whip. He had been in shipwrecks. He had been in imprisonments. He had been in beatings. He had been chased out of town. His life had been threatened. His own family had sworn an oath to kill him. He had endured all the extremes of life. See, Paul knew what it was like to walk when his feet hurt. He was one of the most dominant leaders in the early church. He wrote over two-thirds of the New Testament. He wasn't just a name in the Bible. He was the name. Paul was the man to be. And few could boast to have a more successful career than Paul. He had traveled by land and sea all over the known world, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He had seen converts and brought many to a relationship with God. Of all the people in history, few have had an impact on the world that Paul did. His passion and his zeal helped spread the gospel like wildfire in the ancient world. And no matter what happened to him, he kept the faith and kept telling people about God. See, Paul knew what it was like to walk when his feet hurt. Now, Paul's circumstances were changing. Paul was coming off of a long and fruitful ministry in the province of Asia. He and his colleagues had spent the winter of 56-57 AD in Corinth before sailing to Jerusalem. Now, whatever his goal was in heading to Jerusalem, his mission didn't quite go as planned. It was in Jerusalem that some of his old enemies caught up with Paul and brought up false charges against him. He was taken into custody by the Romans and sent to Caesarea, where he was detained for 2 years. Finally exercised the right of a Roman citizen to appeal his case before Caesar, and he was sent to Rome, where he was kept under house arrest for 2 more years until his case was brought before the Supreme Court. Tradition would then indicate that Paul was later arrested again and subject to an even more extreme imprisonment and trial in which there'd be no release. This is the setting in which Paul writes 2 Timothy. And this is one of the last books that Paul would write. The year is about 65-66 AD, which is only about a year or so before Paul is killed. The only time Paul would leave this prison is to walk the path to where he is beheaded. And even sitting there in prison, knowing that he will soon be a dead man, he is still telling people about God and writing letters to encourage and strengthen his fellow Christians. See, Paul knew what it was like to walk when his feet hurt. Paul endured so much. The impact that he had on the world was a result of his perseverance. Paul endured great opposition, great suffering, hardship, and trials. He experienced the worst this life can offer, and he did so without giving up. He has something to hold on to. We see it in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. See, he fought the good fight. He finished the race. He kept the faith. And now he was ready for his crown of righteousness. Paul endured so much and remained faithful because Paul found the strength to persevere. He knew what it was like to walk when his feet hurt. Do you? Where do we find the strength to persevere through hard times? Same place Paul did, the kingdom of God. Paul lived his life for the next one. He endured what happened here on earth and pressed on so that he could get the reward in heaven. Just as a runner must focus on the prize at the end of the race to push through the pain that comes along, that's the same way we ought to focus our eyes on the prize. We ought to focus ourselves on the kingdom of God, the life we will have with him. For when we begin to set our sights on God, we then realize the riches that await us at the end. We have to put all of our strength that we need to look at our life with him. Then we can find all the strength that we'll need to endure whatever the world throws at us. I tell you this. Whatever pain you feel, whatever hardships come your way, whatever difficulties you face or the heartaches you feel, whatever happens in this life, one thing we know. This life is temporary. All these pain, all these hardships, it is temporary. All the suffering that we go through is but a fleeting moment compared to the prize that awaits us at the end of this race. We cannot grow weary and lose heart because life can and is hard. We must focus on things to come so that we may find the strength to endure. Now, as I told you before, I heard Jason French do a similar talk like this in 2006. And he did the exact same thing that I'm doing now, ripping off pieces of duct tape and throwing them on the ground. What I didn't tell you is that when I heard this talk, I was in a wheelchair. The week before I went to CIY, I had broken my ankle. And the whole week of the conference, I was pushed around by the kids in the youth group that I led. They kind of had fun with it. But I was also in a bad place. not just physically because I was in a wheelchair, but spiritually. I was thinking that what I was doing in youth ministry wasn't really working. I was thinking that I wasn't doing a good job. And really what I was thinking is that I didn't want to be a youth minister anymore, and I needed to quit. Then I heard this message from Jason. God works in mysterious ways. And at the end of the message, he told the crowd, if you know what it's like to walk when your feet hurt, come get your duct tape. And people started to come forward, and he stopped them and said, before you get this duct tape, you need to know what it means. It means that no matter what, no matter what trials and frustrations appear in front of you, never stop showing God through your actions and deeds, and use this piece of duct tape to remind you to never give up. Now come get your duct tape. And now, like I had said, I was in a wheelchair with a cast on my leg. And just so you know where we're at, like I said before, CIY had thousands and thousands and thousands of people there. I was at the very top of a basketball stadium in a wheelchair. But I needed to get my duct tape, and I needed to know what it was like to walk when my feet hurt. So I got up out of my wheelchair, and I proceeded to hop all the way down to the floor of the stadium, across the floor to the stage, and I got my duct tape. I fell a couple times. People tried to help me, and I told them no, because I needed to know that no matter what, through trials and frustrations, that I would not quit. And I would continue to tell people about God no matter what happened to me. Let's pray. Lord, you are incredible. You are my Lord. You are my God. And Lord, no matter what we go through in our life, Lord, I pray that we stay focused on you. Lord, no matter what hardships, no matter what difficulties press into our life, Lord, we need to know that no matter what happens in our life, you are there with us, and we need to know that no matter what we do in our life, no matter what happens in our life, we never, never need to stop telling people about you. Lord, I pray that as we go through our lives, we are able to be the salt of the earth, to be the light of this world, and give our all to you. Lord, as we continue this worship time, as we continue our lives, I pray we're able to be the Christians you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So now I'll tell you the same thing. Before you get this duct tape, you need to know what it means. It means that no matter what you do in your life, no matter where you go, never stop telling people about God. No matter what trials and frustrations that appear in front of you, never stop showing Christ through your actions and your deeds. And use this piece of duct tape to remind you to never give up. So if that's you, during this next song, come get your duct tape.